So you've had your first meeting where you're getting your toe in the water, kind of getting an idea of what's going on. And then, if possible, you've met together for some pre-marriage counseling, which can raise questions that give answers that take a lifetime to benefit from these answers, and you live them out, and you grow, and you just change, and but you've alerted to some of the issues, so you've done that. So now, preferably, maybe 2 months before the wedding, it's time now to talk about an agenda to talk about the ceremony itself. So here's the agenda. So ask if there are any changes from the first meeting. And a lot of times, so someone often, how I've seen it work again and again and again. So somebody asked me to perform their wedding. It's a year. So it's a year out, okay? So I go, okay, so let's meet in the next month and just kind of talk about it. So we meet and we talk about the various items. Then I'll say at the end of that meeting is, do you want to have a pre-marriage counseling meet? Now, when I do a wedding, quite honestly, I do require it. So if someone asks, you might want to require it because it does really make a long-term difference. Of those marriages that I did the pre-marriage counseling, I have again and again and again and again, people come back years later. I've been at this now for decades. They come back and say, you know what? That changed our marriage. We're so glad we did it. So I would recommend you do that. And so the first, within a month of being asked, the second, I would do it like a month later. And if the conversation goes well, minimum of one, I like to do, like two or three, because those are big topics, and in one night it's overwhelming. So the whole marriage counseling thing, I like to do minimum of one, but I like to do two or three. And then as time comes on, it comes to now this meeting where you're going to talk about the ceremony itself, and ideally about the 2 month, what's ideal. But usually 2 months before is a great time to do that. So ask if there's any changes from the first meeting, because they have their first expectations they share with you. I want this, I want that, there's this location, but then something changes. And confirm the ceremony facts. So here are some fact questions that then get, and I would have this written down, I'd write this down. How many people are standing up? By this time, that's been decided. Because they have to order wedding dresses, of course, it's decided. But then here are other questions. Do all parents get along? Now, that may have come out in some of the pre-marriage counseling, but not necessarily. Will they sit together? And sometimes you'll have parents who are divorced and they won't even go near each other. Many times for the wedding itself, they'll sit in the same row. Sometimes the two sets of parents don't necessarily get along. Most of the times, I find, praise the Lord, they are getting along really nicely. But there is a couple times when there is tension in the air. What type of feel does the couple want? Traditional or contemporary? Those are just questions that come up. What time and why? There are issues with timing. Like, and sometimes they're not thought out. For instance, they pick a time that's too close to the reception. But then it comes out why they're doing that. But all of those things are all part of the discussion. So here are all things to talk about again before the rehearsal. You're preparing for the rehearsal, and it's great to prepare a couple months before. What time do you want the rehearsal to gather? And you might even talk about photography. What what pictures are going to be taken before, what pictures are going to be taken after. So what time to start, what time to end the rehearsal, because there's going to be usually a rehearsal dinner. Those are just questions that come up. One thing that I really feel strongly about is the more you put these facts on the table, the more it goes smoothly. Is there a wedding coordinator? Who is he or she? And you might even want to meet with a coordinator. I find a coordinator is great. Now, there's a couple of times when the coordinator takes a lot of the role of the wedding officiant, and usually I'm fine for them to do that because that is what they do all the time. And they, a lot of times, like a wedding coordinator at a local church is great because they know, like, the sound system person. It's just great. Who's in charge? What I mean by that is, as a wedding officiant, when it comes to the rehearsal itself, I want to know who the final buck stopper is. Is it the bride? Which it usually is in 90% of the time, but in 20% of the time, it is the groom. But I want to know when I go to the rehearsal, who ultimately, because the rehearsal itself brings a divergence of ideas about how weddings should go. It's true. So I want to know, I want to be self-aware about it. Okay, so if the groom feels very strongly about something and the bride is, I don't really care about it, I want to have a little meeting, but I want to get the input of the bride, but I ultimately know that the groom is the decision maker. Now, I say that because almost all the time it is the bride. It might even be more than 80%, but because it feels like it's her day. And I want to honor that. So I want to talk about this ahead of time and make it almost like a little bit of a fun thing. are there volunteers? If there's volunteers that day, especially these big weddings, I've seen the need of volunteers. And there are volunteers. Sometimes there's volunteer roles like the guest book and all of that stuff. Let's talk about all those roles. And then, what about meeting with the wedding helpers? Sometimes if a wedding is really big, it's really important that we have a chance to meet with the wedding helpers. So we've talked about who's in charge. now, are there parents or relatives or friends who might try to take control in a way that is undesirable? Know that now. That's not something you want to find out in the day. And they will tell you right away, like, my mother will try to take this whole thing over. And then you, as a wedding officiant, will come in, and when decisions make, you'll say, I like to call the bride up here, and only the bride, please. So the bride comes up, the mother is sitting there, and I've even seen where the mother is sitting there, and she starts shouting back something, but then I'm in this thing, like, I'm talking to the bride, I'll be right there. Just keep that bride, it's her day. And then what ultimately is the game plan? a lot of the stuff that you'll find is just by communication. You're just talking. So what about the program details? So that's the next thing you'll be talking about. What are the program details? What about family volunteers doing a reading or other part of the ceremony? What about a solo? What about live music versus canned music? What about video recording or photos? All of these issues become very important in actually putting the ceremony together. Important personal details. What are the exact pronunciation of names? Are there any health issues that affect the ceremony for anybody? I've had it where some people have fainting issues. Well, you want to know that. And so you want to sometimes the time of the wedding, how long the ceremony, is directly related to some health issues. And all of those things talked about ahead of time make a huge difference. You might all of a sudden confront right on the spot pastoral care issues because there may be grief issues. Somebody had just died. How are you going to address those things? Expectation issues. If you find the bride has the expectation of the perfect, everything is perfect. That's the time to basically, you know, encourage, like, you know, keep your expectations low. Nothing is perfect. Oh, but I want everything perfect. Well, and I've said to brides or grooms, I said, you know, my experience of this, if you try for perfect, you don't enjoy the day. What do you mean? Well, you're too busy living up to, you know, I'm a philosophy guy, Plato's ideas of perfection. Then when the actual thing happened, you're lost in trying to live up to something. And then say, are there any other questions? You know, and what's fascinating about this discussion is that you can start getting a picture of who this couple really is. And that brings you to the last part of the discussion that day, and that's the message issues. So you're going to want to help them give you some indications of what is their favorite verse. How long do they want the message to be? 10 minutes is what I suggest. But in this part of discussion, now you've already now done some pastoral care issues, and you know you might already know the angle. But right here is really you might even like give some suggestions on some angles that you might want to go down without giving away anything. I really like that you're both musicians and you're learning to play in concert together. Ah, we love that, you know. So it kind of gives you, maybe you can go down some metaphors like that. So you're getting them together, you're getting discussion so that when the rehearsal comes, you are prepared to help them get through that rehearsal and get on to their wedding day.